pertains to life and godliness. All that we seek, He already has given everything to us. We are the ones that do not know. We are the ones that bring the limitations to ourselves. God is beautiful. His word never falls to the ground. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is well. Can you welcome somebody sitting by your side? Tell him or her you're welcome to today's meeting and you're looking beautiful. And ask them, are you set to receive the word? Are you set to receive the word? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Onye Dikachi. Thank you. There's space. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise Master Jesus. Okay. The Lord has a word for you. The Lord has a word for me. The Lord wants to transform us. And we are in our new ministry year. The Lord has said there are blessings everywhere. But not only if you walk towards the blessing that you'll be able to gather the blessings. Praise the Lord. Gone are the days when manna will fall from the sky. Praise Master Jesus. Today I'll be ministering on the topic, trusting God wholly. Trusting God wholly. Trusting God wholly. And I like that you flip your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, we're going to read from verse 1 through to verse 7. Praise the Lord. And I pray that after today's meeting, the Lord will stir up. The Lord will stir up your spirit, man. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and split the wood for the burning, for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the course of this meeting, we'll touch the rest of the verses, but I want us to focus on these first seven chapters. Hallelujah. And I pray that after today's meeting, like I said, there will be a stirring in our hearts. Praise the Lord. Beloved, I know that there comes to a point in every believer's journey with God that God will want to test your love for Him, your loyalty. He will want to test your obedience. Sometimes God can send you an assignment. Sometimes He can demand for something from you. Sometimes He can give you a task that He knows that you are capable of. Hallelujah. Sometimes He wants to reveal how much of Him that is in you. Praise the Lord. Now, I need us to understand that test is a part of life. Sometimes it can be difficult. Sometimes it can be painful. That is when we say we are waiting. Waiting on the Lord. But there is also an opportunity for us to prove ourselves, to show what we know, and to demonstrate the capacity of Him who has called us. Hallelujah. Now, for Abraham, his test was Isaac, the son of promise, the child of laughter, the evidence of God's faithfulness, the child he waited for 25 years before birthing. Now, I'd like to inform us that Isaac represented Abraham's dream. Isaac represented his future. And Isaac represented his fulfillment. Yet, God demanded of him. Now, one of our sisters testified two Sundays ago, and while she was testifying, she said something that while Pastor was ministering on the topic blessedness of giving, that she came to an understanding that it's not only money that one can give, that she actually thought that when she hears giving, it has to do with money. But in the line of that teaching, she understood that it's not just about money. Praise the Lord. And she gave us a gift. I don't know if you remember. Now, praise the Lord. Your Isaac may not be a person. Your Isaac may be your ambition. Your Isaac may be your career. Your Isaac may be your possession. Your Isaac may be your time. Your Isaac may be your will. I remember while growing up, when I was attending catechism class, one of our castees told us a story about one of the fathers who was doing so well as a banker, and then he had the call to leave banking. His career was cut short. I remembered that he said he struggled with it, and when he accepted, now there was a challenge. The family refused. Praise the Lord. So it was a very tough decision for him. As at that time. But he eventually followed God's divine call. Praise the Lord. And then some time ago, I watched a film. A Christian film. Also, in this film, the man was a banker, doing very well. And then he had this deep revelation. The angel of the Lord ministered to him and told him that he was to minister to the people, that he has not called him to follow this line. And he said, look, I am doing very well. He was interacting with the angel. And he said, I don't think I can do anything other than this banking. Praise the Lord. His ambition, his will was demanded for. Praise Master Jesus. Glory to God. So I want to ask you, what is your own Isaac? What is your own Isaac? What is God demanding of you? Praise the Lord. We're going somewhere. Hallelujah. Now, Isaac represents anything that is precious or valuable to you, that God has given to you. It could be a gift that you have prayed so long into having. It could be a blessing that you have waited for too long, and then the blessings eventually come. It's something that you attach value to. Now, like I said, it could be your dream. You're working very hard into achieving that dream that you saw. It could be your possession. It could be your position. It could even be your child, as God demanded of Hannah. Praise the Lord. It could be your comfort zone. It could be your plan. Now, have an understanding that Isaac is not a bad thing. It is something of good value. Something that you love deeply. Something that costs you something. And that's why it hurts when you drop it down. Praise the Lord. Now, Pastor mentioned this illustration I'm about to give while he was ministering. You know, he says something about God asking us to sow a car. That car was a new car. A car that we hadn't used for like 3 months. That car was new, beautiful. When the Lord demanded that car, I'm sure because of how I was always fantasizing. At that time, I always go out because I needed to drive that car. Praise the Lord. And then the Lord demanded for it. When I woke up, I said, no, it can't be this car. How am I going to tell Pastor? And then I stood at the staircase, still thinking in my spirit, how do I start? How do I tell him a car that he just bought, we should go and sew? He was downstairs. I don't know how he drifted into sleep. And then the Lord ministered to him. And he rushed up and saw me at the staircase. And he said, I just had a dream. I said, I also had a dream. I was waiting to hear the dream. And then he said, I saw that this car had an accident. I said, God said we should sew it. The Lord helped me to pass the message across. Without arguing, it was something that I loved. And then we now asked ourselves, why are you going to cope? It wasn't like that was the only car. We still had another car, but he asked me that question. But how are you going to cope? I don't know if he knew that that car was becoming an idol to me. I don't know. But somehow, we gave that car out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going somewhere. We're going to read from verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. 18. Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Hallelujah. What is this telling you? Isaac was reassuring himself that if God had given Isaac to me, and God is demanding Isaac from me, it means that God can also bring him back. He's demanding him for as a burnt offering. It means that God, in that ash, God can still bring out the Isaac. Hallelujah. Now, that scripture is a foreshadow of Jesus. What was written in the Testament, New Testament, concerning Jesus. Praise the Lord. I pray that whatever you have given or you intend to give willingly to God, be it in service, be it in your seed or your sacrifice, I pray that the Lord God Almighty will cause an overflow for you. So let's continue. So God told Abraham, take your son. Here, he says, take your son, your only son. There was a sense of emphasis. God emphasized because Abraham has another son. He says, take your son, your only son, whom you love. Whom you love. Did God want him to kill Isaac? No. The Lord only wanted Abraham's heart. The Lord only wanted to know how much of the love that Abraham had for him. So when God is demanding you something from you, God wants to know if you truly love him. God wants to know if you truly trust that he's more than able. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, when the things that we love are threatened, what we worship will be revealed. If the things that you love is being threatened, is being demanded of, what you actually worship will come to play. Praise the Lord. Now, our responses to the test, to whatever we go through, it determines the allegiance that we have towards God or towards whatever it is that our hearts are drawn to. Hallelujah. Listen, in verse 12, even after hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. He says, take your son, your only son whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his servants, himself and Isaac, and then he splits the And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had directed him. Praise the Lord. And then the scripture says the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and then he saw the place afar. Now Abraham was being led to Moriah. And Moriah is a place of obedience. Moriah is a place of worship. Moriah is a place where faith is exhibited. Moriah is a place of sacrifice, which means that Moriah, God was actually leading Abraham to Moriah, a place of sacrifice, an altar of sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, when God demands something from you, God wants to know. He wants to know if you love the gift than the giver. He wants to find out from you. He wants to know if the blessings take the place of the blesser. He wants to know. Now, Abraham surrendered his mind. Abraham surrendered his emotions and his will. When he took Isaac to Moriah, he surrendered everything that made him a man. Praise the Lord. And then when they got there, the Lord spoke to him, we are going somewhere. We are going somewhere. Listen, when God gives you something and God demands of it, God is not trying to punish you. God is not trying to be wicked to you. God is not trying to take that which you think has made you as a voice, that which has announced you. God only wants to add more. Praise the Lord. God only wants to add more. So sometimes when God gives us a tip of the blessings that we have asked for. And then that blessing comes and suddenly the blessing ceased. Ask yourself, is it that God was actually trying to make me love him, give him? Was it a test to know what I will do with the blessing? Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we make excuses when God has given us something. And that's why sometimes the blessings that come at some point, like a fountain, it ceases. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. I want to ask you something. This was the second time that God was leading Abraham. Did Abraham obey? Did he obey? Abraham obeyed. Now, there's something you need to understand, that true worship costs something. True worship costs something. True worship is not by convenience. True worship is not by convenience, it's by surrender. When you drop something on the altar, what you invariably you're saying, because Abraham dropped Isaac, and Abraham was saying he was no longer believing for Isaac, but he was trusting God with Isaac. He no longer trusting for Isaac, but he was believing God with Isaac. So it means that whatever you come to drop on the altar, you no longer own it. God owns it. Hallelujah. You shouldn't speak about it anymore, because it now belongs to God. Whatever he wants to do with it is dependent on him. Praise the Lord. We are going somewhere. Now, a faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. When God asks you for your Isaac, God wants to promote your faith to another level. When the woman with the alabaster box in Matthew chapter 26, she didn't have anything. The only prized possession that she had was that oil in the box. Praise the Lord. And she took it. People looked at her as being stupid. People looked at her as being foolish. Even the disciples, those following Jesus, they were talking, asking, shouldn't this woman have sold this oil? But the woman understood, and what she represented was total worship and devotion. What she did was a sacrificial love. She gave and poured the whole of her out for God, not knowing what will become of her after she has done that. Praise the Lord. We are always counting. What we do is multiplication. If I give God like this, I'm sure God can talk to one man. That contract that I've been looking for, God will just make it possible. God, you say if I give, more will be given to me. It's his word. You're not wrong. But where you are wrong is that you begin to count. You begin to count the cost. Abraham did nothing of that. The Lord says, go. He left. He looked at his son. He might have struggled with it in his heart, but it never came out of his mouth. He never looked at the fact that this is the child I had in my old age. And God is saying, go. He's the burnt offering. He says, as they were walking, Abraham took the wood. Abraham took fire. Abraham took knife. Do you know the representative of these items? He took the wood. The wood was his effort. He took the fire. The fire is his passion, is his zeal for the love that he has towards God. He took the knife. The knife was a division, a separation from his desire to the desires of God. I hope we understand. And then he took along his faith. Praise the Lord. It was his efforts. The wood, he's the one that will break the wood. That's his efforts. The fire is his passion, his zeal towards the things of God, towards God himself. And then the knife representing what he was going to use to separate his desire and align his will to that of God. How do you drop your Isaac? Do you have all of those items? Do you go with them or you leave them behind? The separation, the knife that he was going to take off Isaac, slit his throat. Praise the Lord. And at that point, the Lord says, Abraham, do not lay your hand on that boy. He passed the test. That's how you know. Let's see verse 12. Verse 12, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know. Abraham got his results. He says, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son. He still emphasized on it, your only son, from me. Abraham passed the test. Praise the Lord. Can God say that of you? Can God say that of you? Today we'll pray, oh God, give me a life partner. The women are looking for ebony men, rich men. The one who understands me, the one who knows you. Pray. You pray every time there is a conference, you are in that conference. Every time there is a meeting, you are in that meeting. Your only desire is to be married. The men will pray for a job. I want blow. I need a job. I want to work in Shell. I want to work in Chevron. As that job comes, excuse don't start. I don't always have time more. I close very late. And my husband wants me to always be at home. My husband doesn't want me to be working. I cannot be coming to church anymore. And then you start coming gradually, you start coming late. In a month, you might have maybe like 4 different meetings. You only make an attempt to attend one. Then you start complaining. We do the tea for this, our church. We do the tea, where? I don't have time. I need to be. Where is your effort? Where is the wood? Where is the fire? Where is the knife? You know, like I told us in that message, excuses. When you make excuses, you're invariably saying no. It's a form of rejection. The one that surprises me most, a woman will cry, I need a child. Is these children that God has given me? They don't allow me to do anything. You know, I just gave birth, so that's 3 months. I must stay at home for 3 months. But in that 3 months, you are going to the market. You are leaving the baby. Then the God that gave you the child, he becomes second priority. You will keep the baby. And then you are hurrying. You even attend parties. The child is at home, but you have not gone to church because I have not done dedication. But you have named the baby. That baby, as you name, that baby is already dedicated. We begin to give excuses. Imagine God come to tell you, you see that baby has to serve God like our brother. when Gerald's child was named, I've been naming babies. What happened on that day was amazing. They carried this boy. Everybody that touched this boy were falling. You carry him, you begin to fall. You carry him, you begin to fall. We laid him on the altar. He just turned around, put his hand, and then he slept off. He came with a mantle. He came with a mantle. Praise the Lord. And then God says, that boy has to always be in church. He will not leave the church like Samuel. The present mother that we have today will say, my only son, I should leave him in the church. The God that has demanded of him will take care of him. Hallelujah. Like I said, it's not about only human beings, though. What about your time? What about your comforts? What about your comforts? We ask God for open doors. And when God gives us open doors, we close the door against him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, for God to multiply what you have, God needs to break it first. For him to multiply what you have, he needs to break it. Even Jesus demonstrated it. Jesus demonstrated it when he fed the 5,000. Jesus took the bread from that small boy. He blessed it. He broke it. And multiplication took place. So if you refuse to drop your Isaac on the altar, you may never see its full potentials. You may never see the increase that you so desire. You may never fulfill that purpose. Because for every promise that God gives to you, there is a test behind it for the manifestation. It might come in any form. It might come in any form. Praise the Lord. The path of obedience sometimes could be very, very painful. But at the end of it, it leads to revelations. It leads you into another dimension with God. Let me show you something. When you surrender your Isaac, in verse 13, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Where did the ram come from? The ram has always been there, but Abraham never saw it. The same thing that happened to Hagar. Hagar looked for water. She looked round the wilderness. When she gave up and said, okay, I can't watch my son die. Let me go over to the other side. And then the Spirit of the Lord appeared to her. And suddenly her eyes opened and she saw a well. Who dug the well? Where did the well come from? I told us on Friday that our miracles are everywhere. That's why the Bible asked, God asked Jeremiah, what do you see? What do you see? What is your eye seeing? Jeremiah said, I see an almond tree. Was he seeing an almond tree? It's between him and God. And God says, yes, you have seen well. So what are you seeing? What are you seeing? Immediately. Abraham's eyes opened. Abraham, his eyes opened. There was supernatural provision available. So when you surrender your Isaac, you just got yourself an encounter with divine provision. Praise the Lord. God released the ram for Isaac. A supernatural provision. So whatever you give up for God, it never leaves your life, but it comes back multiplied. Praise the Lord. It comes back multiplied. Proverbs 3 verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your possession and with the first fruits of all of your increase, so that your barns will be plenty and thereby overflow will take place. Praise the Lord. You will enter into a covenanted blessing with God. Verse 16. Okay, let me read it from verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and you have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. In and multiplying, I will multiply. Generational wealth came to pass because he did not withhold. God wrote it down in the book of remembrance against Abraham. Praise the Lord. Number three, you enter into a new dimension with God. Listen, when you enter, you drop. Give God a sacrifice. You see another dimension of God. Abraham has always known God as the El Shaddai. But when he entered into that covenant with him, when he laid down his Isaac, he saw God as Jehovah Jireh. The one who will provide. Whether he's seeing it or not, God will provide. Many of us are always afraid. We are always afraid of what will happen if I give. What will happen if I close my accounts? Hungry go catch me. Your friend or your brother that would know about it, they won't use your head now for church. Who asks you to sow? See, the blessing that comes back to you is a blessing that comes from your heart, not the one that the pastor says, come and sow. If you are not in agreement with it, you just gave. There must be a conviction in your heart. A sister shared a testimony with us. She came to church and she had this burden in her heart to empty her accounts. She said while that burden was upon her, she tried to struggle. She couldn't silence that voice. And she said she did. That she went back home with nothing in her account. But do I shock you? She entered into another dimension with God. God became as a fire, a wall of fire, a wall of protection. God became her defense. What would have happened to her bounced back to somebody else. By that singular obedience, how much trust do you have for God? How much? We prayed a prayer this morning. Every spirit of religion, that is what happens to many of us. We are very religious. We don't practice Christianity as a lifestyle. It's a routine. That's why I said true worship is not by convenience. You have to surrender. The God that has given you is able to give you much more. Praise the Lord. Today we talk about King Solomon. Oh, he's the wisest man. He's the wisest man that ever lived on earth. He gave something. He did something. And he kept doing that thing because he had that understanding. He was a man of sacrifice. And God came to him, entered into a covenant with him. That covenant has not been broken till today. What are you ready to give out to God? What are you ready to lay on the altar for God? As I was studying, I came to the realization that that Moriah was the place where the temple that Solomon built was located. I got an understanding that Moriah was also the place where David made his sacrifice. I got an understanding. So God did not take Abraham there by chance. It was a place that God has taken as an altar of sacrifice. Praise the Lord. He says, I will take you to a place where I will show you. That place was the place of sacrifice. What do you do at the altar? An altar is not just an elevated place. It's a place of obedience. If you cannot obey what comes from the altar, then you have not recognized that altar. From here, we give an instruction. Many of us find it difficult in obeying it. Oh, come to church by 7. We will come to church when we like. The altar is a place of worship. Total surrender. We'll come to church. My Bible is in my phone. We are chatting with somebody. That call cannot wait. We're chatting. You come to church, you are outside. The altar is a place that is for God. Praise the Lord. So what do you give? If Abraham had not surrendered Isaac, what could have happened? He could have missed the ram that God tied there without him seeing. You know, when he went to that Moriah, he went by his flesh. It was after he laid down Isaac, his eyes opened and then he saw the ram. Do you come with your flesh to the altar? Praise the Lord. He would have limited God's blessing to just him alone and not his generation. He would probably have lost the relationship. The Bible says that Abraham is a friend of God. He would have lost that relationship and taken the blessing. Praise the Lord. Now, this is just a message for you to trust God with everything that God has given to you. Nobody is using you. That's why you have the word of truth in your hand. Open it and read. You should be able to discern when you're being used according to the language that we use. Nobody is using you. You're not coming to church to serve the pastor. You are coming to church to have fellowship with your God. You hear a word you're not comfortable with, the word of truth is in your hand, is in your phone. You carry it everywhere. Read it, and the Lord will minister his word to you. They talk about giving. The first thing is, they won't use us to make money now. The giving is for you to have another dimension of the one who has called you. He has given you his time. He wants you to also give to him. He doesn't need it, but he just wants you to reveal how much love you have for him. It's not enough for us to say we love God. There's always an action that follows love. You don't love somebody and withhold. You love and then you express it. And that's why he gave us Jesus. He loves us. He didn't withhold his son. He gave his son to us. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, don't withhold your Isaac. Your ram is waiting for you. Your ram is waiting for you. If God had withheld Jesus back, we wouldn't have known salvation. We wouldn't have known salvation. You and I will not be here today. I'm sure God would have destroyed us as he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. Do not withhold. If God is leading you to doing something, go outright and do it. You will be rewarded by him, not by man. You will be rewarded by him that has put those convictions inside of you. If it's your time, God is demanding of it. That thing, that work that you think they will sack you. See, let me not even go far. One of us here has been with the Lord. He sent me a message. Unfortunately, my phone was on silent, so I didn't see it. When it dawned on me that I haven't heard any sound from my phone, that was around past 11. And the message he dropped was around 7. And what was that message? He needed something to sustain him. Somehow, I felt very bad. He was no longer online. I kept quiet. And I said, God, this person has been with you. Don't let him sleep like this. And in the morning, he sent me a message that somehow he found food in the place that is not supposed to see food. How can you leave food inside my office? What's food looking for in my office? I don't know if you understand. Nobody lives in church aside from the security. He has his place. He has no business here. But he found food inside the kitchen. Praise the Lord. That was God making provision. That was God making provision. You can't stay with God and go hungry. You can't stay with God. Give to God, all of you. And then God will look at you and say, no, I don't know this person. No. No. It's not like that. It doesn't work like that. He's not a wicked God. So I want to implore you, whenever you are here, come with your wood, come with your fire, and come with your knife. Keep the flesh outside. Come, what is in vain telling you is come with an expectation to meet with your God. Don't come and meet us. Meet with your God. He's the one that sees the heart. So he knows when you're fellowshipping with him, he knows. It's not about lift up your hands and give God all the glory. You obey me. What is your heart saying? Please, let's rise to our feet. So what is the Isaac that you are still holding back to? Back to. You're going to lift up your voice and you cry out to him. Lord, give me the grace to surrender to you in totality. Abraham surrendered everything. His will, his emotion, his mind. He did not allow the mind to speak to him. That was why he did not consult the wife Sarah. That's why he did not speak to anybody about it. Everything that makes him a man, his mind, his will, his emotion, he surrendered everything to God. Ask the Lord to give you the grace. That whenever you come before him, the passion of him is stirred in you. You separate separate your flesh, your worldly desire for him. You cause your will to align with his will. I gave up everything. I gave up my job. I gave up my business. Because he took my will. He took my career. He took everything that makes me me. He took everything. And I'm thankful for it today. Ask for the grace to surrender. Don't be like the Sadducees and the Pharisees that honor him with their lips. Their hearts are far. Be with him. Lord, I receive the grace to serve you in truth and in spirit. Cry out to him and tell him to break every fear of losing what he has given to you on the altar of sacrifice. God is a God of sacrifice. Sacrifice stirs up the presence of God in your life. Stop holding back. Stop holding back. Let that fear break. Nobody is using you. If you love the Lord, you will give him your time. If you love the Lord, you will give him the resources, because it's his breath that you are using on a daily basis. You are using his breath on a daily basis. If God has given you an instruction, don't fear. His grace will be there, sufficient to lead you to where he wants you to be. Ask the Lord to give you that grace, not to love the gift from the giver. Was ministering, I heard the Lord tell me that he has called my sons and daughters that I have called, but the cares and the fear of this world has denied them from my presence, and so I withhold till they run back to me. Praise the Lord. I don't know how many of you have the call to serve God, but you rather say, they offended me, so I will not do it. Let me just come and do. Listen, Nathaniel, honor God with your Isaac. What you have, it's not for you and your God. It's for you and the people. Stop counting. See where the enemy steals from you. He's making you count offenses. He's making you count offenses to deprive you of where God is taking you to. Stop counting offenses and allow the purpose for which he has called you to be. Stop it. Whatever it is that you're going through, it's because you're withholding. There are people that you should have ministered to, but you withheld, and so he's withholding from you. Don't let offenses carry your knife, separate. Hallelujah. Why have you not started singing? Why has she not started? Listen, the instruction, I heard it in my spirit, oh, is now I'm not telling you to go flout your orders. He says, he gave you another chance. He gave you another chance. The blessing that was coming for you, you stopped it yourself because of the cares of the world. And now he says, another chance has been given. Lay down your Isaac. What I have given to you, he wants it. Do you understand what I'm saying? He says he wants it. Listen, many of you, your Isaac provokes the presence of God. But when you refuse to let it out, God is seated and he's waiting. If you like, begin to pray. Your Isaac is not true prayer. Your Isaac could be going to save somebody. Your Isaac could be coming to church to clean. Your Isaac could be an early morning cry. Your Isaac could be, listen, the dreams and the revelations that you have, he's not giving you for you to fill up a book. He's telling you your life. And then you hold it. You count offenses. My dear, there is a call. I know I've told you that there is a mantle on you. And that mantle, it came from somewhere to you. And that mantle, you are the one to fulfill that mantle. Ask the Lord to show you how to go about it. Do you know how? Being in his presence at all times. Being in his presence and asking him to speak to you. He will speak to you through his word. He will speak to you through his word. Stop being afraid. God is not a wicked God, and that's why he's inviting. You have a call. I see things happen. But yet your life is going the opposite direction. Yet you do the things that makes God run away from you. God gives you revelations, things that want to happen. But your life, you live a life of fields. And you think it will manifest. Hallelujah. Why are you afraid? Oye di kachi. You no longer, fear is gone. You cannot carry what three persons are meant to carry, and then you're being tossed left, right, and center. It's an error. It's an error. Many of you here, see you looking at me. You know why the things that is happening to you? Your destiny is big, it's large. And so the devil is fighting tooth and nail to stop it. So if you are counting offenses, he's happy. He's happy. We've gotten him where we want. But I'm glad that you're beginning to walk. I don't know what gave you the wisdom, but I'm glad that you're walking with someone as a mentor. Don't derail. He will guide you through. He will guide you through. I hope you know I'm talking to you. Hallelujah. See, don't come to God because you want him to solve your problem. Don't come to him because you want him to solve your problem. Come to God because you love him, because you know that with him you are covered. Not because you have a problem. Stop being afraid to manifest what he has put in you. Stop being afraid. also know? Do you also know that you carry the oil from your father? Do you know? And you are sitting on top of Isaac. If you begin to do the things that your oil demands, you will watch how you would expand and grow. It's not enough. What you are doing is not enough. It's just a minute part of what you are doing. Just a small part. My dear, calm down. I always tell you this. Calm down. Just calm down. Let God walk with you. That Isaac he has for you, you calm down so that you can drop it with him and then he will direct you. Calm down. See, he has given you an instruction to do. He gave you a little, but you missed it along the line. He gave you a little, but you missed it along the line. You missed it. Somebody is saying, is it that I will not walk again? You will walk very well. Is pastor not walking? How does pastor do it? Those of you that have gone to his office, you know how busy he is in the office. But he still has time for God. He still gives to God. He lays himself bare before God. Don't stop doing what you are doing. You're in the path already. Don't let frustration, it is part of it. Don't even stop. Don't stop. My dear, don't allow the things that is coming now. It's you. Don't allow the things coming now to take you away from the path. There's a priestly garment on you. I know you know. Don't be derailed. Don't be derailed. Sometimes we make people that are around us cause us to lose our path with God. Did God not say? Jesus said, anything that will make you not walk with him, cut it off. You think it's enjoyment? It's not enjoyment. Because when you are being punished, they will not be there receiving the punishment. God knows how to chastise his own. When the Lord was giving me revelations, giving me prophecies about people, I will swallow it. So I don't want them to start saying she's not normal. Then when those people that knew me then, I was always looking sick. But I was well. I was always looking sick because I was filled with messages for people. That's why once I come across and I see and sense, and the Lord puts it in my heart that there's something about this person, I will keep following you until you start manifesting it because I know what it is. Just lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Ask the Lord to help you obey him. Ask the Lord to help you obey him. His obedience that brought about friendship between Abraham and God. God loves sacrifices, and you can't serve God without sacrificing. Sacrifice. Here, we won't ask you to come and sow 10,000, 2,000. But we'll tell you what you need to know that will help and guide your life. We don't need your money. But we want you to love God. Because everything that you're looking for is in him. Is in him. Ask the Lord to help you obey him. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray that whenever you release your Isaac, let the heavens be provoked on your behalf. Let the heavens be provoked on your behalf. You had a covenant with God. She had a covenant with God, but she broke it by herself. I hear that in my spirit. She had a covenant with God and she broke it by herself. Lord, help me. It's a meeting of revival. Don't withhold your Isaac. God has asked you to do something before. Someone said, God asked me to drop my laptop. I looked at the laptop. I knew how much I bought the laptop. I said, no, let me go with my laptop. As I got to my laptop till today, refused to work. I've carried my laptop everywhere, refused to work. God needed that Isaac. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. I pray that you put upon us the spirit of obedience, the heart to love you for who you are, the heart to hunger more of you, the heart not to withhold that you bless us with, the heart that will cause us to love you, the giver, than the gift you have given to us. We ask that you help us not to forget you, the blesser, to always remembering the blessing. We ask that you hold us by the hand and walk and guide us through, because you are our Ebenezer. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.